Yay! All right. Welcome to LFP Group Call 86. Woo! Crazy. As the numbers continue to get closer to 100, like every time I kind of sit down to, I don't know, I guess like channel whatever the call is going to perhaps be, I lately have been like reflecting back on like just how much ground we've covered and how many themes we've had. And it's just really, really cool. And Layla lately has been going like all the way back to like the call number 5 and like early stuff. And I'm like, man, what are we even, what were my beliefs then? Just kidding. Anyhow, so that's neither here nor there. I just get excited as the numbers are greater because that just means we've been on a really fun learning journey together for a long time. All right. So tonight is creating yourself and your life as a work of art. This is very much inspired by the theme of the retreat, which was kind of a twofold waking up alive and inhabiting the imaginal. And in a nutshell, that is about being in the cocoon and turning to goo and kind of allowing oneself to disidentify with all that we have identified with so that things, the fresh can come in and the old can fall away. And much like the metamorphosis of the caterpillar into the butterfly in that gooey stage. So that's been where I've been since the retreat, before the retreat and through. And also there's been, as a part of the, hi Ash, yay, as a part of the, I'll call it the concept of the imaginal or the archetype of the imaginal that is kind of sandwiched between the form and the formless. And it is like the creative art supply of the universe, the imaginal. It's like, okay, it's like form, it's ideating into the inspiration of what will become. It's not fully formed yet, but it's also not nothing. So the creative process of, oh, how do I want to create myself? How do I want to create my life? What does it even mean to create ourselves in our lives? How do we create? How do we create? How do we create ourselves in our lives? Out of, on the other side of kind of the gooey stuff, or even aside from that, kind of on the day to day, how can we integrate or embody more creativity, aka like less prefabricated, less scripted, less by the book, right? And more authenticity and more honesty to flow through us. So that's been super top of mind for me. And it's been coming up in so many conversations that I've been having with you ladies in the past couple of weeks around letting go, letting on the one hand, letting go of what no longer serves you, but also this kind of like awkward phase of, well, what do I do now? How do I know what I want to become? And how do I do that if it's not grabbing from the past and kind of bringing that into the future? So we're gonna do some fun exploring this evening as we always do. And I'm really going to the best of my ability, tune into each of you individually as I know you intimately, as well as a group, and really feel into like the synthesis and the synergy of the group in terms of how we can explore creativity in a really authentic way on this call. So we'll see where we go. I have some fun notes to explore here. So that being said, let's do intro round and that's another funny thing. Sometimes I'm like, do we need to do intro rounds? We all know each other. But I'm so glad we do because as I've been going back and listening to those older calls, it's amazing to hear everyone kind of speak themselves into the room and where they're at. So we're going to keep doing intro rounds. So we'll do name, location. How are you feeling? How are you being today? Help us tune in with you. And what attracted you to this topic or this call, whether it was the topic itself or the just being here? Any curiosities you might have or anything in specific that you're interested in? And so we'll start with that. And I will nominate Layla because she's in the other room. So I'm going to give away her location. Oh no, she's frozen.
She just texted or she chatted. She has Wi-Fi issues.
Wi-Fi issues? What? I don't know how that can be possible. I'm in the same router. I'm just kidding. Okay. Deborah, I'll put you in the hot seat if you don't mind.
So I'm the only one who wasn't at the retreat, whatever.
Hey, I tried. I tried.
Okay, so I'm Deborah. I'm in Dublin, California still. And one day I will not be in Dublin when I'm on the call.
Are we okay? I know, right? I was
like, I'm going to mute Layla. Okay. Okay, should be good. Go ahead, Deborah, sorry.
So I am Deborah. I'm in Dublin, and I was just saying that I'm still here, and one day I will not be here.
So good.
This is again. Weird. Hold on.
Okay.
She's muted, though. She's coming through the mute.
Huh. Is it when I talk, is it okay?
Yeah.
Maybe they should be side by side.
We thought about that, but there's like an echo feedback loop that happens if we do that, where it like starts doing that weird thing. So she's logging out real quick. Sorry, Deborah. Let's.
No worries. I'm not gonna say it again. I'm
take
just
three.
Actually, I am. I'm Deborah. I'm in Dublin still, and I was just saying that one of these days I will be chiming in, not from Dublin. But I am doing well. I am excited about graduation coming up. And I'm excited about my family coming and fun coming. And yeah, I'm just excited. I'm a little nervous about my graduation party. I'm going to have to talk to you, Fawn, because I'm like, I need some help, girl. But all is well. And all I can say is I'm excited. I have my graduation robe. I ordered my graduation ring, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So what's interesting about actually with the topic, I was thinking because I'm at a really big transition period right now, moving from school back out into the workforce, but I kind of want to do it like through my business. And so I feel like this creating yourself kind of thing is all like a part of that transition. And so I'm just kind of excited to see how things unfold for me. And but I'm always interested. I don't care what the topic is, I'm here. So yeah. But this is especially on point because of my transition today. So
Thank you, Deborah. Yeah, what is there anything like specifically that feels related? I don't want to make any assumptions there, but
looking at the questions, I feel like as I move into doing my own thing through my business, mm-hmm. I think creativity is a big part of that. And so the first question, what does it mean to live a creative and created life? Like, to me, part of that is going to emerge from, you have to be solid. Like, you have to know who you are. You have to be like at a certain level before you can move in. It's almost like the pyramid, what is it? Tell me the jazz.
Maslow,
there you go. Hierarchy of needs. I feel like it's similar to that. Like I have to be in a certain space before I can start moving into the creative piece. And so that's kind of part of it for me. Like, where am I? How close am I to that? Yeah.
Like a certain space in terms of yourself or your business?
No, for me and my development. Like in order to access the creative, I feel like I'm going to need to be in a certain space and I don't know what that is or if I'm there and that kind of thing, how close I am. Yeah. That probably didn't make any sense at all, but I know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you, Deborah. Awesome. Jasmine.
Hey everyone, so good to see you. I am still in New Jersey. I'm doing well today. I've had like a really wonderful week that was full of lots of noticing. And I'm especially grateful for our call today. And I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. And then I was, and then I read the theme and I felt like it was written literally to me, about me, and for me, based on my last call with Vaughn, verbatim the paint by number. I had such a beautiful week because I was so wide open since the retreat. And then I got sick the last couple of days. And although I noticed, I was like very low. And it just was like such an old way of operating and way of thinking and way of believing in myself and way of doubting and way of questioning and just so much of my old like rules and insecurities. And I was so grateful, Fawn, for our call to have support in like probably the lowest day I had in a while. But today's theme is like actually what I'm like feeling gooey about, like really, truly at my core. Like I used to consider myself creative, but like via paint by number. Like it looked really good. I color in lines top notch. Like I can even do like the dark outline and light shade inside, so it looks really good, you know, like, but all inside the box, you know? And so I've had like a bunch of experiences over the past year now that like have been outside the box and have been opportunities for me to be 100% me. And I noticed the difference between like my painting in the box and like those experiences. And I want to continue to like have conversations to like continue to crack that open, explore that, let that flourish, be like, I don't know, like created through. And yeah, I just, that's the theme is awesome. Really into it.
Hooray. Yay. Yes. And our conversation certainly was part of the hell yes to this theme today. It had been like brewing in the imaginal, and that was one of the things I was like, oh, yep. Awesome. Thank you. Ashley.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome.
I'm Ashley. I am in Los Angeles. Pretty sure though it's now Seattle because it just is cold and rainy all the time. As it is right now. Like it's March 30th. What's going on? Anyways, I'm feeling really good. Today was, it's been a great week. Today was a really good week, or today was a good day because I, Thursdays are like my either work on my business or me days. And today was a me day. So I got a massage this morning and then spent some time there afterwards. Cause they have like jacuzzi and sauna and steam room and all of that, all of the things there. And so I just was earlier today sitting, got a cat on me, sitting in the jacuzzi after my massage and was like, what is this life? Like, just so like grateful to that. I was just sitting there without like, I nowhere to be, without a worry in the world, and like how different this is from where I was just like 4 years ago. And there's just such gratitude there. Cause even 4 years ago, if I went and got a massage, I would have been like, oh, I got to get back to work. I got to like check my email. I would probably be checking my email during the massage, like all of the things. Right. And I wouldn't have stayed. I wouldn't have had a time to stay and like enjoy the services and all of the thing. Right. And I was just like, here I am sitting in this jacuzzi, like after massage without a worry in the world. Of course, there's things I still worry about, but literally in that moment, it was just like, so there's just so much gratitude. Just so much gratitude for
what has been created, and how different my life is from just 4 years ago. So feeling pretty good, and just in a and been in a pretty zen spot ever since I got home from that. And then in terms of this call, I'm at a point, I think, with my business or with, I don't know, with whatever, like, kind of like what's next, and trying to like figure out like what else do I want to create? What does that look like? Where are we going next with this? Or is there, or is it just, you know, continuing as it is, 'cause whatever. And then also I have all these, like, even earlier when I was, because they have a quiet room at the spa, so I was sitting there afterwards like journaling and whatever, and I was like, and all these ideas, right? And I'm like, but how do I execute all of this stuff? Like, what do I want to do with all this? And so it gets to a point where it's like, and that's happened before, right? Like, I write down all these things that I want to do, and then they just kind of live in a notebook until maybe I remember it or whatever. But it's like the overwhelm of like, here's all these things I could do or create or whatever. And, but then sometimes they just stay in that notebook. So, it's learning, you know, that's also like intrigued me about this call too, but then also more on a bigger level, just kind of like, well, what do I want to create next at a higher level? So, and of course, always just because why not join these calls? So.
Sounds like you had a lovely, lavish day, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm like, I was really feeling relaxed as you were describing that. I was like writing, and then I was like writing slower.
Like, so nice. It was quite nice. It's, it's just my monthly treat for myself.
Nice. For you. Hell yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So some curiosity around how, like, on the one hand, like, the fire hose of ideas and things that I would love to be up to.
Yeah.
How do I execute all of this? And then also like a question around like a higher level question of like kind of a what's next.
Yeah.
What's brewing.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. Layla.
Hello. So you all know where I'm at. And I've been here since February. It's been really nice, been a really, really good fit. So I feel very, very grateful. I'm getting ready to go to San Diego next week for about 3 weeks to visit family. It was originally going to be a week, for a wedding, but then, it was my mom's birthday and my niece is turning 18, and, like, my family's getting together on Tuesday or Wednesday night. So I forgot what night it is now, Tuesday night. And like, I'm planning to surprise them. And, so that's exciting. And then I'll be coming back here. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, I feel like I say this a lot, but I feel a lot of different emotions. I feel a lot of excitement. I feel some anxiety. I feel like when I went to the gym today, I was stretching and doing some of like a triactive, breathing. Right. I think I was in a meditative state where, it was like, I just felt very blissful. Some like personal stuff was coming up today that was kind of upsetting. So I feel like I was a little all over the place, but at the same time, like using my brain and using some breathing and just like, just trusting myself to just, you know, understand that feelings are feelings and they're valid, but they can change. They're always temporary. We have control over, you know, how we respond to situations and, you know, and what's in alignment with us. So like, I've been thinking a lot about that today. With this call, I love this. Just a couple things. I love that, Deborah, you mentioned Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because I've been thinking a lot about that and getting my like baseline really solid and consistent. I feel like sometimes I let go of that and I need to come back, because I can get lost in other stuff that's not the basics. I mean, with that, there's like so much room for creativity, you know, because you're not stressed about like little decisions throughout the day, right? As far as like work of art, I think that can be expressed in so many different ways, right? Like we can say by like looking at one another, our hair and our makeup, the way we dress, but it's also, in my opinion, it's like the way we walk, the way like we move our eyebrows when we speak, the way we speak to each other. And there's like, if you really pay attention, there's beauty and art in like every human being. And I know this crowd knows this, you know. And with my business, you know, it's like a lot of project management and there's a lot of virtual assisting. So like for a long time, I think I was convinced that it's not a creative role, but like, I mean, at least I enjoy it, but it's not creative. And I always pictured myself to be like either a counselor or creative or something, or a vet, but I'm not going to do that. I realized like recently, I'm like, no, this, I can make this creative. Like I can do whatever I want with this. I've been thinking of a lot of cool ideas. I definitely as well feel like I'm in the goo. I love the quote from this email that you sent us, Vaughn, it was like a bullet point where it says, "What if we are so creative we can't keep track of all of our inspirations, impulses? How do we make sense and harmony out of so many ideas, interests, and dreams?" Right? And I totally resonate with that. I'm like some things are so clear and so powerful, but it's like, how do I make sense of it? Because I know there's some kind of harmony. I'm like, and I'm figuring out what that is. But I'm enjoying the process. I'm not being hard on myself or putting pressure on myself to like figure it out. While making sure I'm prioritizing what needs to get done, right? Like I can't live in, I mean, I can't, for me, like I don't want to, again, the hierarchy of needs, like there are things that I need to make sure that I take care of. So it's been a fun balance these days. It's, I've been enjoying it a lot.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
Like the tune into where you're at with this theme, and then this like awareness around taking care of business and also being creative, and how do those integrate? And I just love that you're like surfing that in a way where you're not pressuring yourself or creating undue stress. In the unknown. That's amazing, right? Like that's amazing.
I appreciate you acknowledging that. Yeah.
Because our society and our left hemisphere just want to be like, you know, like, what are we doing? What's the end goal? How do we get there? Give me the strategy. What are the steps, right? What are we creating? Why are we creating it? How does that relate to the blah, 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 right? And when that's not there, right? The imaginal, it freaks us out sometimes on levels, right? And that's, well, at least, you know, especially as we're like new to transformational work or kind of waking up, but even sometimes amidst it. But yeah, so it speaks volumes to your journey.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, ladies. Okay. Yeah. And this is your share was actually a great segue. I would love to, as we often do, kind of volley some questions around for the sake of creating expanded awareness and maybe seeing some things or allowing some curiosities to come through that we wouldn't if we were just kind of journaling on our own. So one thing I will say too, in the art world or in some creative spaces, there's like a lot of conjecture. There we go. Conjecture about like, what is art, right? And what is creativity, and what is art and what is not art? And like all that, that's not where we're going with this. Like, we're not trying to pin art down and get like the right definition or the right answer for right or art or creativity. No, thank you. But what I would love to do is for kind of our own conscious and subconscious minds to explore, what is art to us? What does it mean to, we'll just kind of start with like, what is art? How do we know art from not art? And we'll volley that around, and then we can kind of check in with creativity. What is creativity, or being creative, or being created? What does that mean to us? And how do we know, like, what is not creativity? What is creativity? Just to kind of create some bearings for us. And if those get lumped together in the share, that's totally fine too. Because oftentimes, I know you all know this on these calls, like oftentimes, even for me, I'll come in with like a concept of what I think something is. And then the more we explore it, the more it's like, oh, wow, there's like so much more to this, or different angles or whatever. We'll popcorn it. We're a small enough group tonight. What is art? Anyone want to take a stab? Or maybe a different way to ask that is, what is the essence of art?
I kind of think art is everything. And I know that sounds like a non-answer, but obviously, if you would have asked me this question like 10 years ago, I would have had a completely different answer. And it would have been in the box of what one may traditionally think of as art. But I see it as everything. I see it as whatever wants to be expressed through us. And you also can see it. It is nature too, right? It is, I don't know. It's this animal sitting in my lap right now too. Like, so for me, I kind of see it as everything. Even the million sticky notes that I'm looking at right above my, like right in front of me, and the different colors, I would consider that art, because it's just something, it is a creation that has been expressed through me.
Thank you.
I don't know if that answers your question.
That's great. Yeah. Who else? What is art, or what is the essence of art?
Thought Jazz was getting ready to say something. So I'm kind of feeling, I'm sort of feeling what Ashley was saying, because at first I was like, oh, art is something that catches your eye, it's beautiful, it, you know, and then I realized, oh no, like I can be art, our body, our movement, our, right? And so I kind of feel you with art is everything. And so for me, for some reason, the beauty element is coming out, because I feel like with art, it's something that attracts us to it. And so beauty doesn't mean beautiful, but it's something, right, that draws us. And so, yeah, I think I'll stop there.
That's a fun distinction. Beauty, but it's not necessarily beautiful.
Oh, yes, yes.
So beauty as like an aspect that is like attracting our attention or
drawing us in. Yeah.
That's cool. Wow. Awesome. What else, ladies?
That was beautiful, Deb. Traditionally, like, it came to mind, like, all the normal things, like art, like, you know, digital art, photography, like actually drawing, that kind of stuff. And then I, like, was drawn to just expression in general in any form. So then my mind went to, like, the like bringing something into form. So not just, like, from humans, like anything that is energetically expressed in any way from anything, which is, like, kind of, I think what you said, Ash, that it could be, like, literally everything, because, like, the energy of the universe is creating all the time. But then I even thought about, is there art in what still looks like formless? Like, is there art in a moment of silence between two people? Is there art in a feeling, like, when you're with someone? And, like, yeah, like, I would describe moments as beautiful, even though, like, nothing is being created tangibly. So I don't really know how to articulate that other than there's still, like, I guess maybe this is more creativity. I don't really know, but it's like art as an energetic expression. And sometimes that comes through in the form, like a flower growing in nature, your cat purring on your lap, me, like, drawing something, writing something, a sticky note, or like a quiet breath, or like a feeling between something, two things within yourself. I don't know. I think that's art also. Like, sometimes that's the most beautiful thing that I create all day, is a moment of peace and, like, love or gratitude. Even if lots of things were output and they were, like, created. So that's kind of where I went, like, more into the, I don't know. My brain actually went more into the formless to challenge what I think art is when I started to think about it. That was fun.
Cool. Thank you. It reminds me of this. The details aren't coming to me right now, but this composition that was really a big deal, I think it was earlier in the 20th century, where it was like 400 and something bars of silence, and then one note on the, like, 422nd bar or something, and it would pack. I can't remember who the composer was, some avant-garde person, of course, but it, like, pack the auditorium. And some people would be furious, and some people, it was, like, life-changing. I think Alan Watts talks about that. Anyway, that's what came to mind. Who else? What is art? What is the essence of art? We can flip it also. What is not art? And I know there's been a lot of, like, well, it seems like, so far at least, like, everything is art. How do we know art from not art? Is there not art?
These are tough questions.
Really tough. Right? And isn't it so funny that, like, we just kind of go around our day to day and talking about art as though, like, we know what we're talking about, or we all mean the same thing, right? It's so fun.
It, like, reminds me of, like, I've seen, like, on TV shows where someone would, like, have this piece of art that's, like, just, like a random piece of junk. And then they show, like, and then the person, like, is selling it, and they're dressing, like, very artsy, and they're selling it to, like, these really, like, sommelier level, like, art collectors who apparently know what art is and what's not art. And it's just so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really depends on the person on what's not art. I think it's very subjective. Yeah. Very subjective.
That's sort of where my mind was going. If the artist considers it art, then it's art. Mm. Even if the artist is nature jazz. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So what would maybe be not art?
That's my point. Anything could be art if I define it as art, right? So it depends on the person who's doing the creating. Mm. Oh, and yeah, but... See what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
True story. True story. It was in the news, I don't know, like a year or two ago.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
I remember that. Yeah. But like, okay. So the not art versus the art thing, then like, is it really the product that's the art?
Mm.
Or is it the process of creation that's the art? Cause like, mm-hmm. if the piece of junk is what gets turned into something beautiful, it's not the thing that's now beautiful, that's art. It's the like creative power that, or like potential that was like poured over this piece of junk.
Mm.
So that's why it's subjective, because like it's subjective on the product, but it's not like the thing that came before the art is the essence of art. And that is like consistent. Like that is always creative. So no matter what the product is and whatever you think or feel in your own lens about the thing that's supposedly art or not art, like the people who just like splatter canvases randomly with color and sell them for lots of money. Like I could think it's art or not art. It doesn't matter, but like is the before the product the art actually?
Mm.
Or like is art just actually the, I don't know.
Yeah.
The whatever moves through us to create. And that is actually the constant that's in everything. So whether you think the flower is beautiful, the thing that made the flower be a flower. It's like, I don't really care what you think. Like that was fucking art, whether you think the flower is beautiful or not. So there's no such thing as not art. And there's also no such thing as art. There just is, I don't know, the isness that creates, or like the thing that creates.
Yeah. That's what I mean by the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thursday night girlfriend.
Ooh, this is lovely. I'm like, we are in philosophy corner. This is so fun.
Isness, Miss Jazz.
Yeah. Isness is our business.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's profound. That's a really great example. So we take like, here's the hair tie, right? And a hair tie. Okay. If we're being literal, it's art because it's something that was created, made based on what we've discussed so far tonight. And then if I do this to the hair tie and I had a really inspiring day, and so this represents the sunshine and like, this is the rain.
Then that's art, baby.
Then is the hair tie, you know, the art, or is it like the what expressed that and created that? Where that came from. Cool. Okay. All right. So I think we're kind of exploring like, okay, art is energetic expression. Everything, even nothing, is energetic expression. So everything is art. Seems like kind of where we're exploring. Okay. So that's fun. That's a fun thing to noodle, right? So creativity, is there any, like, what distinctions, if any, are there between like creativity and art, or creation and art? Are there any like nuances or distinctions in there that come up for us?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, creativity, creation. Creativity in the way that we kind of use these or relate to these terms, you know, in our own lives. What comes up for us around those? What do those mean to us? And is there any like distinction between that and art?
I think for me, one distinction, and it's not, I'm not super attached to this because it's a new thought, but like when I think of myself and my creativity, it's a lot more thinking and like looking, like in specific examples, is like speaking with you all and having really wonderful ideas, or like journaling and getting inspired and looking at the ocean and drinking coffee and thinking about what I want to do with what I'm grateful for, or what I want to do with the business, or whatever it is. And I think creativity is a little, for me, a lot of the like the colorful things that I'm thinking about. And then the creation is more of the execution part, the execution side, like, okay, like actual like paint on the paintbrush, or actual like what the room looks like after you decorate it for like a wonderful event, right? But I think that creativity is also like that, and creation is also what I was saying earlier, but I think maybe a little bit more on the creativity side is just thinking about it and talking about it with you all, or be inspired. And the creation is a little more on the execution side. For me, I never really thought about it, but this is what I'm coming up with right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool. Yeah. So there seems to be an element of thinking. Let's see if these terms resonate. Like attention or conscientiousness, maybe focus. Do those resonate?
With the creativity side?
Yeah.
Yeah, those definitely resonate. Definitely resonates. Yeah. I'm still noodling on it. So I kind of like shared it when awesome. It was a newer idea. Yeah.
Perfect. That's what we're all about. It's like, that's so meta, right? That's creativity in real time coming from the imaginal. Awesome. Yeah. 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 And what just occurred, that was really beautiful to witness, because that's kind of what it is like in the creative zone of like, right? And then like, so then once in a while we're like, oh yeah, you know, there's like a boom, like a resonance or something that like clicks or nudges or tugs or moves the pencil or the, you know, the paintbrush. So that was perfect. That's like in the,
yeah,
we're just like feeling around and seeing what comes through and then kind of checking in with it. So that was like literally beautiful.
Nice. Yeah. And I was, part of the reason why I said it out loud is because I wanted to see like if that sparked an idea in someone else, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to hear what anyone has to say, but sometimes just like sharing it out loud from anyone can spark provoke thoughts and creativity from the like energy of the other people. Yeah. Cause like sometimes I'll share something. I'm like, oh, I like this idea. And I'll share it with someone and then they'll make it like a million times better, you know? And then like, I'll share something and it'll get better. And then they share something, you know? So it's really fun. It's really, really fun.
Right. The synergy when it's like happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, Lais. Anyone else? Creativity, creation, create.
I loved that, Layla. That was beautiful. I didn't have a distinction before you kind of spoke. And now I'm like, oh my gosh. Like what I heard was like, I or nature am creative. Like my essence is creative, whether I want to be or not, or like, I forget if what's it called? If you turn it into creativity, it's the adjective or the verb or whatever that's called in English. That's like, comes through me. But then like the distinction is like, okay, it creates, like I am creative. It is an essence. It creates either a thought that I can then transition into form of like something. So that's then a creation, which then can be perceived by a viewer as art or not. So there's like, wasn't a distinction before, but now I feel like there is. So I really like that because I like thought about the flower again. And it's like, well, is the growing of the flower art or is it actually just creation via the creative nature of like nature, like, or the creative essence of nature? Like nature will find a way to grow the flower if it can. Then the flower is created as a creation in form. And then I can say, oh, it's art or it's not. So they're like, I don't know. There's something there that's now a distinction that wasn't. So that's cool.
So well said, Jazz. Like you like took what I was sharing and just made it into something like bigger and better. That was really cool. Thanks.
It's happening in front of our very eyes. So cool. So Jazz, I think if I'm tracking with you there's like an aspect, a distinction coming in around like the experiencer's role in the created, and the experiencer's role as then the perception of art in that creation. Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Is there anything that isn't creative or creation? It's really interesting because like I'm noticing the social conditioned kind of like, oh, like associations with creativity and art, like originality or intentionality or like conscious awareness. Like if I'm conscientiously drawing something versus just doodling on a page or something for no reason, right? So I'm noticing and I'm kind of like checking in with this as these like affiliations that like, is that true? Is anything not creative or creation? When do we feel like our life is a work of art, or we are a work of art, or when do we feel like our life is not a work of art, or we're not a work of art or art? What comes up for us there?
So first I want to say I kind of see creativity just like art. Like it is, it's everything, you know, that kind of thing, right? The essence, the isness. But I have to say, and I've been a little shy about saying this, and this came up really early on for me, some insecurity tonight that I usually don't feel in the group. And I think it's because this creative piece is like new for me. Like, I feel, okay, that this is not a therapy session. I recognize that. But I just needed, because I feel like it kind of all fits in, like, because I feel like I've never had a lot of opportunity to, it's just never been on my radar to be expressive and creative and, you know, imaginative. Has always been like, what do you have to do? Do this, like, check the boxes, right? And so, like, I think it was Ashley that talked about the fire hose. Or maybe when she said something that made me think of a fire hose, she's like, what fire hose? It was like the fire hose, turning on the fire hose of creative ideas, right? And I was like, oh my God, like tell me how to turn that fire hose. Like, you know, all these things that you were thinking about. And I'm like, how do you do that? And so I'm going somewhere with this insecurity piece. So anyway, so all the insecurities came up. And I'm like, why, you know, like, I'm always in this space and I love coming, but I feel like I'm always the last learner, right? Which kind of feeds into this creativity thing, because it sounds like listening to everybody is, and even my own thoughts about it, that this is a natural way of being, like, it's just part of who we all are. And so then I wonder, why hasn't that fire hose, why isn't my fire hose open, or what's closed to my fire hose, right? Like, yeah, anyway, so a lot of stuff is coming up for me. And then also the last thing I'll say is around the word creation. I felt a little protective when you used, like, when you said creativity, creative, created, I was fine. But when you used the word creation, I got defensive, because I'm thinking only God can create, right? Like, God, like, creation is making something out of nothing, and only God can do that. And I know we all have different concepts of God, right? And so, but it made me get defensive, because, but then if I look at the definition, like, literally, anything, like, that wasn't already there, you created it out of something, right? You know what I mean, right? Like, I can say God created the trees, but then you can take the bark of a tree and do something with it and make art or whatever, right? So I don't know. I just needed to say all that came up for me. So it's really loaded, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, worth them, priceless, invaluable. Thank you.
Yeah, so I don't know. Which maybe leads to our own, I want to say maybe our own preconceived notions about things feeds into what we see and how we experience things, and what is art and what is not art, and what is creative and what is not created, and all of that. So anyway, I'll stop.
Don't stop.
We'll stop till you get enough. No.
That's, thank you, Deborah. Always, always, always.
I love your honesty and transparency on these calls. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, the fire hose of ideas is very new to me, FYI.
Oh, hello.
I used to not, I'm pretty sure one of my, in the first, like, working with Fawn, I used to say I'm not creative at all.
Right? Exactly. That's why there has to be some hierarchy where once you reach a certain level, right? But what I'm hearing is no, girlfriend, no.
You just called out something really, really fascinating, like how much of what we deem as or define as or perceive as being X, Y, or Z is how we experience X, Y, or Z to be in ourselves, right? In that. I mean, that's, oof. And that's why I love to slow down on these calls and like, and have these like exploration kind of circle into the explorations. Cause the more we explore, it brings stuff up sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, in some form or fashion. And it is, it's an invitation to take a look at what's coming up in a way that is fresh, kind of side by side it with like, yeah, just notice it, right? And explore it. So thank you, Deborah. That's what this is all about. Yeah. Yeah. So, and kind of putting the theme of creating ourselves and our lives as a work of art, right? And weaving that kind of back into the curiosity circle right now. What is our role in that? Like our perceptive role, right? Our experiential role. Is anything coming up for anybody?
I know for me, the awareness piece is coming up because even before I can experience or, you know, develop my creative skills, like I have to be aware of kind of where my starting point, I guess, right? Like, you know, I don't want to say that I didn't know creativity existed, but it's like, it just wasn't in my sphere, right? And so, you know, part of me feels torn. Like you talk about being honest, I'm just going to put it all out there, right? Part of me feels torn because I feel like I came from one world and I'm moving into a different world. And, you know, which naturally puts me, and I don't have the right words for it, but you guys know, I want to say like at a disadvantage in terms of catching up and learning and exploring and living and thriving and all of that, right? So I feel like I'm trying to play catch up because I came from a different space, and it would be easier and more comfortable to stay in the space I was in, right? You know what I mean? Kind of, sort of, you're like, sort of. But at the same time, it's like a whole new world. It's like different levels of being and awareness, and everything's expanding, I guess, which is good. But it's like, it's also uncomfortable. And I guess that's what I'm feeling tonight. I guess it's that sums it up. Like, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable as I move into this new space. Mm. Yeah. And that is okay. Mm.
Thank you, Deborah.
Somebody, please.
I freaking love you.
Yeah.
I freaking love you. You are not alone, and you're so bold, and you're speaking my heart song, and I'm super grateful that you're on the call tonight. Because I resonate with so much of what you say. But I also I felt the same way when Ash said that. I'm like, give me the fire hose, drown me in creativity. Somebody. Pretty sure it's why I'm gravitated towards like when I slow down a little bit, I'm gravitated towards people like Fawn and people like Ashley and people like Layla, because I feel like I'm seeing them create all the time. And it's like I'm separate, but I think my heart knows I'm not. And my left brain thinks the same things you just said. I have to play catch up. But I'm trying, and I'm not even going to say I'm trying because that sounds effortful. I believe and trust that it is not effortful, that I am creative. I am creative potential. I have been actually creating my whole life. It has looked a certain way that maybe I'm perceiving as by the book. Check the boxes, do the work, make it happen. Logical, reasonable, like X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Like that was fucking creative though. My like gravitation though is the more expansive. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to have to play catch up. I just want to like let it flow through and pop up naturally and embrace it. And I know it's there and I don't have to try. Like I literally believe I'm made of it. I'm just kind of waiting for it not to feel effortful. And somehow that happens. I know it's like gonna happen. I have to trust in that. I've had like little bursts, as I'm sure you have, like, wow, I was like so creative just there. Like that was weird. Like that wasn't really me. I can't repeat that. I can't do that again. Like that's not natural. That was like a fucking comet, you know? But like,
I don't, right?
I will not believe that. Yeah. I used to think that. I'm not going to believe that. What I'm going to believe is that we're all a fire hose. And it's just the discernment of like creative bursts coming through us. And we either listen to the left brain that's like, you should X, Y, and Z because of X, Y, and Z. Or all this shit's coming up through me. And I'm like, oh, I've got to nudge in this direction because that sounds like really fun, even if it makes sense or doesn't make sense. Like, that's what I want to learn to trust a little bit more instead of like not even giving myself the space to like entertain.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to doing exactly what you just said and wanting to be like all the creative people that I've seen in the world.
Yeah.
That I can't be like or do anything like or mimic or even like, you know, so like, thank you. But I'm going to challenge you that you're behind the eight ball and that you have to try hard and that you have to play catch up because I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I literally believe you are infinite creative potential. Like you are sitting there bursting unicorn flames at your asshole of creativity. Like I don't know why I just said that, but like
because you're creative.
Yes, because I'm creative. Okay, and this is my little this little guy, which everybody on their retreat got a little Ali Brihe. Oh. And I'm not going to lie, I had a really hard time connecting with mine and everybody else was talking to theirs and it was fucking guiding them in stations and giving them all these ideas. And I'm like, I can't talk to this thing, you know, I'll try, but I can't talk. But like, it actually was a reminder that that's just me putting a limit on my own creativity.
Yeah.
Cause like, I can't talk to this and imagine or open myself up or expand that I can actually let something flow through that I don't think left brain is like reasonable. So you don't have to try. You just got to be you. Let it flow. There, no effort.
Said it. You said it.
Because if you have to work really hard, so do I. And I don't want to.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound fun.
You get to just be.
Yeah. And I like trust that it's coming through all the time and just notice it and lean into the thing that.
And let it flow.
You're like, oh, yeah, actually that thing.
Yes.
Love it. I love it. Your question, Vaughn, around like our role in it, what comes up for me and what like, yeah, what came up for me was, and similar to what Jazz was just saying, like when I started seeing everything as creative and letting go of like what creative is in the, you know, our traditional society, whatever. But when I literally started seeing everything as creative, that's when I was able to let go and surrender and trust that my creativity is going to come through too. But also, I just started being more creative. And I was like, oh, I always was. I mean, literally, I was seeing like emails being created. Like, that's creative. That's a creative email. I just wrote that. Mm-hmm. This probably came from like Michael Neal's Creating the Impossible, being in that. But like, once I started seeing everything as being creative, or everything that I did, or, you know, everything that everybody else did, but I was focused on, why am I not more creative? And so I was focused on myself and just seeing everything as being creative. And that's when, because I stopped putting so much pressure around it and boxes around it, things were just able to flow, come in. Now, did it happen like right away? No, I don't know. I don't remember, but.
But I totally relate to those comments. And even the emails, like I can think of two off the top of my head that were like, that was the bomb. Like, it, right? It's work of art, right? And it's like, oh my God. So you're right. It's the signs are everywhere. And Layla, thank you for capturing those things in the chat, by the way. I'm not going to read it out loud.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I saw your face and I'm like, oh, did Deborah read it? That makes me so happy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so there's something unfolding or like being revealed here around the role of perception, the role of our own definitions, right? Our own definitions are maybe our own comparisons, maybe our own blind spots that create the illusion of non-art or non-creativity, but it's not real, right? It's going through a filter of our reality filters of I'm not creative. I'm starting at, you know, ground zero, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? This is what create, this is, oh, I'm not creative. Creative people do this, or creative people are like that, right? Or she's creative, he's creative. I'm not creative. Mm-hmm. And like, isn't it so fascinating how that concept is what prevents us from seeing that which is actually happening?
I find that when I'm very like left brain heavy or left hemisphere heavy, I'm like not creative. I'm like, I'm going through my work day. And then when I'm done with my, when it's like 6 o'clock or, you know, towards the end of the day, I am like still thinking about what I have to do. And I think a lot of us are wired that way. And I don't feel enough or satisfied with the work that I did. And like, it shows up in other ways, like my clothes, right? Like I have defined myself as a minimalist for a long time. And I think that, which like, in my opinion, it just means everything I own makes me happy or serves a purpose. And, except for a few things I have in storage, but that I need to sort. But like when I'm super left hemisphere focused, it's locked away. But like even like something simple like my clothes, I like I'm wearing a lot of black and I'm wearing a lot of denim and then like it's not, doesn't necessarily, and that can be artistic because you can add flair to it, right? Like a gold chain to make it so it like pops in contrast with the black. Like I know that, but like I got to a point where I was really like, especially between 2019 and 2022, and me and Eddie were like a little lost on what we wanted to do. And I took over his side of the, like, his smaller client list. I thought I had to be like him in order to serve those clients as well as he did. And being someone that I'm not, it wasn't working, but I eventually found a way to be myself with them. But when I was more left hemisphere focused, I was kind of like, why am I getting this? Why can't I be like Ed? Why, like, and that's crazy. Like, we're in so many ways, we're so different. Like, you're seeing me wearing like a lot of like beautiful colors. He always wears black and gray, like always wears black and gray. And he has like 10 outfits that he just rotates, which he loves because he doesn't have to think about anything else. He doesn't have to, like, it's less decisions he has to make because he has a very colorful wife, which, can throw a lot of monkey wrenches, right? But the point I'm trying to make, like, circling back, was like, when I'm very left hemisphere focused, the creativity creation is just, it feels like forced, or it's not there, or it's not for me, or it's for someone else. And it shows, for me, it shows up in those ways, such as like, and, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to say it, but like trying to be like him, you know, and that's not what anybody's asking for. Not him, not my clients, not anybody, you know? I mean, it's good to be inspired by other people's traits, right? He's very organized, and, but, you know, to be someone that I'm not, like, this is towards the beginning of when I started, to be someone that I'm not for someone else was, it just wasn't a good, it wasn't a fit, you know? And I was never satisfied with my day. I was never satisfied with the work that I did. I always felt like at the end of the day, like I still had stuff to do. It wasn't enough. And it's a horrible cycle. Like, and, I've been coming out of that, and I've realized, like, most especially lately, cause I left San Diego. I'm like, I love it there, but it's not for me to stay there, even though I tried to stay there part-time for my family, because that's what they really wanted. And they have strong opinions about what me and Eddie should do with our life and how we should have a house, purchase a house by this time, blah, blah, blah. And after a point, I was like, I was a little more left hemisphere heavy. And I was like, I realized, like, once I got out here, I was like, I quit. Like, I'm not trying to make you motherfuckers happy. Excuse my language. Like, I love you guys, but I'm not trying to, and by you mother effers, I mean everybody, not just specific people. Like, I'm done. I quit trying to make you happy. I quit trying to fill a box that makes you happy while also trying to make me happy. And then, like, all my relationships are like, they're not at the potential that they could be, because I'm messed up, like, not messed up, but like, I'm not in alignment, you know? And once I started following, most recently, once I started just kind of following what felt right to us, and like the, and being more around people who understand that and feed that, like, my ideas have just been exploding. I've been like, like Jasmine's saying about like the unicorn, the unicorn rainbow flames, right? Like, and one thing I struggle with is like the balance between like, what are the actual tasks that need to get done? What are the left brain ish things that need to be done? Also, can those be creative, right? Like, I have like boring, like Google Sheets stuff to do sometimes, but I'm like, okay, well, if I light a candle and play really good music, then it feels really creative. And then, like, every time I do this sheet, like, I smell lavender, and, you know, and maybe right after, like, I go take a walk by the water or something like that, you know? And anyway, but it's just definitely important to make sure that, like, I'm not so, I feel like sometimes I worry that I would get so lost in the creative and all of this that like I forget like simple basic stuff, like making sure like my bills are being paid, for example. I mean, I don't have that problem, but, or like the fundamentals, like Deborah was saying, the like Maslow's like hierarchy of needs, you know? So is there a balance? And does that mean, are the tasks and the regular things and the routine stuff, the things that are important, you know, making sure you get your teeth brushed, making sure that like your work, you get these things done in order to like meet the requirements and these things done so you're like exceeding in expectations and showing excellence, right? Like, where is that? I don't know if the question's clear. Is like, where is that balance? Like, because sometimes I really want to go in this direction and I want to say F all of this, but I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense because there are things that need to get done, you know? So I don't know how to, like, I was so far on this side for so long and lost sight of who I was in a lot of ways. Trying to meet the expectations of other people while balancing my needs, and it wasn't working. And so far this way. So I don't know if way far this way is the answer, or is it, you can't be way far this way and do these things, you know, that are really, that like, I know logically are important. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. Sorry, I hope I wasn't talking for 20 minutes. I get lost. Sorry.
That was, thank you, Liz. Yeah.
Creativity, Liz. Creation. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Real time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's all. I love, of course, I love the tie-in with like, and that was something that I wanted to kind of play with here is like the hemispheres, right? We're all familiar enough here on this call with the functional differences between the hemispheres when left is dominant or when right is dominant. And as you were sharing, Liz, like it would seem, and also based on my obsession with Ian's work, that when we're interfacing with the world with the left hemisphere, we see less, if any, creativity in art, perhaps in like the creative artistic way. Like, sure, we can point at something like that's art, but like not in the way we've been talking about it here. Right. And perhaps we perceive ourselves as less creative or artistic when we're left hemisphere dominant, like literally, right, on that level. And he talks about that in a lot of his interviews. It's freaking cool. But the left hemisphere serves obviously like a very important role. And Ian's whole thing is like, we need both. We need the interfacing. We need the balancing of the brain, but the balancing of the brain isn't equal parts. It's not 50-50. It's the structural form supporting the formless in a sense, right? The like the open, receptive, perceptive, can see it all, feel it all, everything is whole and interconnected, right hemisphere interface would be noise without the structural aspects and functions of the left hemisphere to help it be like, you know, shape and light and like the structural aspects of it. And I'm totally like, you know, this is very watered down right now, but you know, and so like, what is that balance? I love that question of, okay, living a created life, it would seem necessitates both. We get to support ourselves in being creative, creative in our creativity with some kind of a form, some kind of structure, or I'm just going to call it form for now. And I'm like looking out the window at nature, right? At the trees. And I've thought about this a lot in probably the past 6 months about how nature, the formless comes into the form. And the form, the structural, right? The structural form, the roots, the cells, the tree, the bark, those structures are happening as an aspect of creation, but they're also supporting the life of the creation of nature. So like structure is in service to the formless and they dance together. There's no separation really in it. And the hemispheres, it's fascinating, like all of the studies that are like referenced about how people experience and perceive reality and themselves and life when they're in the left hemisphere dominant. And our culture conditions us to be left hemisphere dominant. So we walk around feeling like I'm not creative. And also the left hemisphere is the comparer, right? Comparison is the, I think, probably the biggest culprit in anything. Like if there is to be a summary of what the gremlin recipe is, it's comparison. Because it's like, there's a me, there's a something else, there's a judgment, and there's a conclusion, right? Which like boxes us into boxes, right? So comparing ourselves to anything is, it's like putting, I don't know, brackets around creativity and truth and God. If we're comparing in a way where it's like, that is art, this is not, kind of thing, right? And that's what the left hemisphere does. So anytime we're comparing, because there's a difference between kind of noticing differences and comparing, right? There's like differences there. So anytime we're comparing or we're like evaluating ourselves and we're like, yeah, I'm not so much this, like I'm not very this, or blah, 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 blah. We're using that left hemisphere to like evaluate ourselves and like God, draw conclusions. And that feels shitty most of the time, the way that we treat ourselves when we're in that space. So yeah, it's really fun to pull the neuroscience into this, right? And have an understanding of, oh man, anytime we feel limited, period, full stop, it's simply that our left hemisphere is at the wheel and we get to notice that and be like, okay, buddy, like we still need you here, but like you're limiting, you're not expressive. Yeah. So
that's really cool. Oh my right? gosh. Yeah. It's so interesting. I have so much to respond to that, but I'll make this quick because I'm sure other people have things they want to share. Is I noticed that, especially today, like when Deborah was sharing so honestly and beautifully about like comparing yourself to other people and that you have a long way to go. I was just like, you know, I almost, what's the word? I just felt a deep love for you when you said that, because I was like, okay, I hope she can see herself more like how we see her right now. Right. And I think, and then sometimes comparison shows up in such ugly, like that was beautiful what Deborah shared. Right. And then sometimes it shows up so, for lack of a better word, ugly, where it's like, you know, I compare, we all have done it. And I remember I was having a conversation with someone and, you know, she was saying like, she was comparing herself so negatively in such a negative light. Like I can never get a husband because I'm not a damsel in distress. I can never get a husband because I'm too independent. I can never, like, guys don't like me because I'm overweight. Guys don't do this. I'm like, well, no wonder you're struggling to find someone that you trust because you think this about you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I mean, this is just one specific example. I'm done. But it's like to realize that that's the left hemisphere, like driving is like mind blowing to me right now. That's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy because it's wrong. It's so, and I'm looking at this person, by the way, who is like an incredibly talented singer. She's like stunning, you know, so many good qualities. And I'm like, I wish you same thing. Like, I wish you saw yourself more like how we see you, you know, it's, yeah, it's crazy. It's, you know, and I think we're like our society, like it's common. It's very common to compare ourselves. It's really common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is making me think of a question that I don't know how to answer for myself, but maybe you can shed some light. Is like, if everyone doesn't agree if it's true, then it can't be true. Is that actually a true statement? So like if we're comparing, right? like, and I think this bad thing about myself, but you're like, I wish you could see me how I see you. So I don't agree with you. So since you think one thing and I think the other, and they're different things, then it can't be true. Like what you think that bad thing about yourself, which is all about like thought, which is generative, which is creative, right? So the only thing that's really true is that some creation came through you and you had a thought and you're choosing to believe yours. And I had a thought and I'm choosing to believe mine. They're not the same thing, right? But if you say that out loud, does that like apply to everything, right? Because like we're talking about judgment versus observation, really. And like judgment's not true. Observation is. Like observation is fact, or it should be. And judgment is not. Mm. But like, so like everybody agrees gravity is true, right? Hopefully. I don't know. Do they?
Nope.
Right? No.
Nope.
I don't know. So the, you know what I mean? So like, I don't really know why that question came up, but the question of like, if it's not to help, I'm not really sure. It's kind of a tangent. I don't even know if it's worth going on, but that question came up. Mm. If it's not true, like if everyone doesn't believe it, it can't be true.
Right. I mean, this is getting into Fawn's favorite land of philosophy. So how many hours do you have? I can actually point you to, Ian McGilchrist discussions, like literally what then, comma, is truth. So what then is truth? His discussions with Alex are amazing. I think it's in the middle of the interview series at this point, also in the middle of The Matter with Things. They have some really, really fucking fantastic. Yeah. Discussions around like this exact thing. Like, is anything true? What is truth? Why do we even, right? And this is where concept and language are helpful as heuristics, as symbols, as like getting around in the world, right? But this is where, oh God, I get so excited because this is where a lot of the perennial philosophers were unfortunately like completely ridiculed, but they were saying that there are like, there is no unanimous truth. There is experience. There is experience, and there's experience that is shared. There is experience that is not shared, like that are, you know, like I'm watching the sunset right now. I hope Layla is also watching the sunset. right. There is a sunset happening right now. But, and this is why thought is when we see thought for what it is, when we see thought for the mechanism that creates symbolism and the mechanism that creates the like experience of the world, that's what's so helpful about it. So we don't want to like throw out all the babies with all the bathwater and be like, oh, nothing's true, right? Like, oh, cool. Like, you know, murder, not murder, who knows? like, it's really, really helpful to have kind of agreed upon consensus about things, corroborative agreements about things. But ultimately, if we're looking for what the left hemisphere wants to find, which is a unanimity across data sets and data points. So yeah, I get so excited about this stuff. And that's why it's so important to question the concepts that we're putting, that we're living our lives through, right? Like this woman who's like critical of herself or puts herself down, or this woman, like a lot of us, but right, who is comparing herself. And we see this person as, oh my gosh, incredible. It would never occur to us, maybe to have the thoughts that she's having about her, right? But she's having them about herself. What does that tell us about the role of thought in the human experience? So it's most helpful most of the time to be subtractive than additive, like subtracting our opinions, our comparisons, our definitions, our like, you know, if I'm living my life, if I'm Fawn here, like living my life as a work of art, and I'm kind of checking in around that. One of the things I'm checking in with is like, how much control am I feeling like I need to have? How much comparison, how much conformity, how much right, wrong, good, bad, pass, fail do I have going on? If there's a lot of those kinds of things going on, I feel less like my work, my life is a work of art, because I'm layering concepts between reality and my experience of it, which then of course has an inhibitive effect. Usually I'm not going to necessarily, like Ashley was saying, I'm not going to be as expressive if I have all of that going on. Does that speak to what you were curious about, Jazz? That was like a lot. I'm talking about fire hose.
Yeah. Especially, I kind of wanted, not myself, but set like a real world kind of like, it felt like you could have said all of that and asked those questions to somebody as if you were pulling on a loose thread, like in a real scenario in someone's like life, you know? Mm-hmm. And that feels like a really helpful exercise to go through. Like I was furiously writing, you know, because I think that's probably when I feel like I was talking to Deb about like, I don't want to believe those things, those left hemisphere things. So then where are my premises that I'm operating from, that are opinions, that are definitions? Like find the loose threads, pull on them. Where am I taking action in way of conformity? Where and how am I comparing specifically? Pull on the thread. Where do I feel like I'm doing right? Where do I feel like I'm doing wrong? Pull on it. Like, where am I passing? Where am I failing? Pull on it. Like, because those are all judgments. They're all not, like, they're all personally prescriptive. So the more I can answer those questions, the more of that I have. And the more of that I have is why I'm feeling less creative. So if I could have like answered all those questions as if I was in a hot seat, that means there's a whole lot of that going on, which is why I'm like, I want to turn on my fire hose, man. You know, like, yeah, because I could just answer like a ton of questions about a whole bunch of left hemisphere like opinions that are totally limiting. So it would actually be really fun to like, here's a plug for you to like find someone to work with and let me watch you do that to somebody else and not me so I can take notes.
Noted. I have to share the sunset with you ladies. Let's see if, I don't know if it'll,
we can see it a little bit between the trees. Yeah.
Yeah. The sky is so beautiful. Hold on. Let me show you my view of Fawn walking around.
Right. You guys are in a beautiful space too. Very creative and artsy. No,
it's hilarious, Layla. Oh man, it's like living in the real world. Or, I mean, yeah, if you know MTV. Oh yeah, there's this sense of ladies that I couldn't be standing here looking at it and not sure.
Not sure, right? Can I just speak to the loose thread, Jazz? Because I feel like that sums up why I felt like I needed to say that I was feeling insecure. It's like it was a loose thread for me, and it needed to be pulled, right? And I'm like, why am I, because I feel like I'm kind of past that, but then I was like, why am I coming up with these, why am I feeling so insecure tonight, and I normally don't feel that way. And so it was a loose thread, and I just like, it was like a summary of what Fawn said, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Where's that loose thread? And pull it. And so I just love that. That really gives me a good visual of my experience tonight and how I'm feeling. So thank you.
Mm.
And then I love, Layla, the pendulum piece too, because it's like, no, we don't want to go all the way to the right, but at the same, right? That was so cute. but you know, it's like, it's that, I don't want to say balance, but it's like, we do want to use less, I think, less of the left and more of the right. But at the same time, we need to keep in mind the basics that we have to take care of. So I think that was a good thing about swinging, but just not swinging all the way. So those are two good takeaways for me.
Nice.
So I probably should have saved that for the end, huh? No, let me stop.
yeah, that's awesome, right? And so talk, let's bring in the like feeling, right? Like, how do we know when we're thriving? There's a feeling, a deeper feeling, right? Underneath, sometimes it's woo, amazing, and sometimes it's like, there's a bunch of shit going on right now, but like I'm feeling kind of great.
Good. Yeah. Right?
So as you all know, right, the cue, and Deborah, again, thank you always for being so honest and speaking and pulling those loose threads and just sharing, like, hey, this is coming up for me. Like something's being activated. Something's like, you know,
not great.
Right. That feeling is the cue that there's reality filters in there somewhere. And so it's totally in, like, on our side. I love that. Like, I love knowing that when I'm feeling any kind of way, that's like, you know, like they're, what am I, how am I perceiving things right now? What am I telling myself? What am I adding, right, with content that is giving rise to this? Another way to ask that is like, what untruths am I subscribing to? Like, what fictions am I animating in my inner world that are just not real?
Is it kind of like, I know this is grander, right? And I think like LFP, like 5 years ago, this was talked about a lot, but like Byron Katie's, right, ideas about like identifying what your stories or your judgments are and like actually inquiring and like, and, or like Jasmine, I think Jasmine that was saying like pulling the thread is like, is this actually true? You know, and eventually realizing that that's a story, like, and that can be changed. And so is it kind, my question is it kind of like that, but like maybe just more, not specific to Byron Katie, but like a similar, like I think the concepts are come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, awesome, Liz. Yeah, it's Byron Katie, cognitive therapy, a lot of wisdom traditions, like all of this stuff, it's all pointing to when we confuse content with truth, we create suffering.
Yeah. I had recently realized that like something that I thought I was over, I definitely wasn't. And like it kept like from meditating or journaling and like doing tarot cards, like this thing kept coming up that used to make me very unhappy. And then there was a point where like, I just wasn't dealing with it for a long time. And maybe there was a lot of healing that there was definitely a lot of healing that was associated with something, But then I realized recently was like, whoa, I still have a big problem with this where it's like, I get like when it comes up, I feel like terrified and unsafe. Mm. And I'm like, shit, like I've been dealing with this for 15 years. Like I thought I'd been over this and I'm not. And I'm like, oh, that's so beautiful that like this, when normally when this alarm would come up, I wouldn't respond this way. It would be a very unhappy time, but I'm so grateful now, which is so weird to say out loud, that this alarm has come up for me over and over again these last couple of weeks. And I'm like, oh, I'm not over this. Like I am still furious about this. And it's probably affecting my direct relationships, my most intimate relationships, because this thing that's still bothering me is the story is like sitting with my core, you know? And I think it's really cool to see that as more of like an alarm rather, and like be like, okay, this is some deep work I need to do or whatever it is, but there's something that needs to be, there's some healing left, you know, and the access to it is closer than we think, I think, you know, because I'm sure what's upsetting me the most is just my ideas about it, even though like objectively, if you look at it, it's fucked up, but like anytime I see this thing, I judge and I hate and I'm like, fuck that. And that's, you know, that's not good. Yeah. It hurts me more than anything else. It's weird. Yeah. But seeing it as something to like, address, like something that you can do about it, I think is very cool. And it's very like, I think my left hemisphere would tell me to do something else and to stay mad, you know? It's interesting.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah. Of course. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that amazing? Like, same activator. Some may call it a trigger, right? Different experience of it.
I'm putting that one on a post-it. Same activator.
Mm-hmm.
Different response, what was it?
Different experience of it.
Yeah.
And if I were being really clear with my languaging right now, I would say like, it'd be like, event, like, you know, there was an event that mm-hmm. we then are active, we have activation around it. Mm-hmm. And that activation is, we have an experience of that activation, but that's not necessarily necessary.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
So I have a question around creativity with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so say you notice that there was an event.
Mm-hmm.
I am activated. I check it in the moment. Ask the questions. Is it true? But realize, okay. Now, if you in that moment, then are like, I'm not going to subscribe to that. Cool. I want to lean into full creativity, full creative expression. And then you're like, how? You know, like really though, it's like, I know that there's not a one size fits all, but do people like have ways of, it's almost like I still feel like it just hits me like lightning bolts occasionally.
Mm.
And so when you're fully like leaning into, I like typed it down from your question, creative expression, because you've released aspects of scripted life that no longer serve you. So you're like, okay, check, did it, good. Byron Katie's work, what Fawn's questions, got it. And now you're like, let the creativity come, right? Is it like just a continued process of getting quiet with yourself, listening, making sure that your schedule is not full of stuff, busy work, so much things logistically you think you have to do, but like time and space that keeps your energy full? Or is it, or maybe it's like, and is it also like making sure you're like attuned to like every moment, like your antenna's on, so you're like open and receptive and like channeling always? Because it's not like you're only going to be creative when you're sitting there at your journal or at your computer, right? So is it just this really like you're leaning into the felt sense all the time as a practice, as an ongoing practice, and just getting better at noticing and being aware of it when it nudges you, whether you're like standing in line getting food, or whether you're actually sitting down to have a creative like brainstorming session, or, you know, like I still feel like my brain is switching gears and it's almost like I don't notice those things if they're coming through when I'm doing the task that I have to do, but it's probably coming through then. I'm just like, have shut it off, even though that's not a real thing, but I'm not noticing it, or I don't think I'm able to notice it because I'm so focused on this task thing. But like sometimes that's when I need the burst of creativity. So like, I'm just curious of what it might look like for you guys, if you heard anything in that too. Cause like I do the work to check, like, is that true? Okay. That's a belief, whatever. And so occasionally I get stuck in the spiral, but what about when I don't get stuck in the spiral? And then I just like really want to generate and I want to feel it and I want to like notice it flowing and I want to like feel and be inspired in. I'm not saying I don't feel that and I'm not inspired in moments, but like in the way of like, I guess I'm thinking creative ideas coming through, kind of like bursts of inspiration, or I don't know. That's what I heard when Lays shared.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do to grease the wheels for creativity? Is it reliable? Is there a reliable way to open the valve? Is that kind of in layman's terms? Yes. And that is something I can follow up with in terms of like things that facilitate behaviors, attitudes, activities that facilitate, generate like the creative parts of the brain and open the channel and stuff like that. Sure. Yeah. I think you spoke to it very, you did. From my experience, like you did nail it in a lot of what you just shared about living unfiltered. Lightning bolts aren't predictable, but we know they happen. And we can hold out a key in a storm and like increase our likelihood. So yeah, there are things. If we're talking about like, you know, I want to have a creative list of like flower pot paintings I want to do or something. Yeah. But if we're talking about like living as a work of art, what occurred to me as you were sharing is, it seems almost so cliche, but presence. Presence. And also what I find helpful is knowing that it's going to come through. It's going to happen. And the mechanisms of creativity, the mechanisms of the big ahas or the downloads for a song or a breakfast or whatever, right? Interestingly, there's not an exact recipe for it and we can't force it, but we can be available for it. And being available is not getting in our own way with our own filters. And like knowing, okay, I like the retreat, weird example, whatever example, but like, I had no idea. I never do what I'm going to, I don't know. But I've learned how to listen. I've learned how to be like, and ask the question. So inquiry, questions prompt answers, inquiry prompts insight. So the inquiry of, you know, what wants to come through for the retreat theme? What wants to, for this call, you know, blah, 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 could be anything. And like listening for that and not demanding that it happen right now, even though a lot of the time it'd be great if it did. Sometimes it does, but listening for, and just like asking questions. This is really about trusting guidance and like the universe to, you know, so trust sounds effortful. You put it much more, I think, succinctly, Jazz, in how you shared this. It's like, be awake and aware, curious. And we can ask for inspiration. We can ask the universe, be like, hey, I really would love to know what my brand is for coaching. I would really love some insight, you know? That's why the workbooks are full of inquiry questions, because that stuff is helpful. Yeah. But we also get to be like, in honor of what we kind of stumbled upon or explored earlier in the call, which is everything is creativity. Let's stop labeling it as like, you know, like this isn't creative, this isn't. And then it's not okay or not good if we're not creative in the moment or not feeling creative. Like, oh, I should be so much more creative. Right.
Well, I have a question. So yeah. From Layla's last comment, you mentioned event activation experience.
Mm.
And then I heard Jazz say creative expression, which to me sounds like a fourth piece to that. So from the experience, then you can be creatively expressive. Is that what you intended, Jazz, or no? You're like, I don't know.
That sounds like it makes a lot of sense, Deb.
Okay.
It's like what Layla was saying. She just starts to balloon and you just blew it up for me.
Exactly right. But when you mentioned creative expression, then that made me feel like, especially the way you described it, as creativity as a form of healing. Because the way you were like, oh, I've had this, right? You feel me, Layla?
That's so good.
I want to throw that in there because... when you added that piece onto it, Jazz, it was like, I've had this activation, it's making me feel this way. And then you were like, so what can you do to bring out the creative energy? It just made me feel like that would be a form of healing or experiencing that event or trauma, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Creativity is healing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Isn't it like, oh, go ahead, Vaughn.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, isn't it amazing how I feel when we do simple things like presently, like color with colored pencils, or presently, like paint something, or whatever it is that's creative to you that you really enjoy? It's like, I don't know if you all feel this way, but like if I'm like sitting down with paint, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I don't know. But it ties back to what Deborah was saying with creativity is healing. And I'm like, oh yeah, something simple as like just painting or whatever that is for someone else is like so healing. And I'm not even trying to process anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Fawn. I'd love to hear what you have to say too, because in response to that. Deborah was saying. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I've always had a thorn in my paw about the phrase art therapy. Like, I get it, but like, we're allowing ourselves to experience our wholeness.
Mm.
And that feels healing because we're wholing, right? That is the wholing that's happening. So yes, love that. Love it. Yeah. Unfiltered. Yeah. Jules and Rudy, when I was when I was mentoring under them, Rudy would say, we are creation with the power to create. we are creation with the power to create. And like, I had heard that. And like, every time I would hear it, it would like, well, sometimes I'd be like, oh yeah, totally. But then sometimes I would hear that and just be like, whoa, like, oh. And like, we are whole with the power to whole. Like, it's just, it's so fun. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Which kind of, to maybe put a bow on this, and then we can do takeaways for whoever wants to stay. Like, creating ourselves and our lives as a work of art, we could maybe put like an equal sign. Like living wholly. Like holy living. Right, which includes it all. Because art's messy. With that, let's do a, I'd love to hear what's connecting, resonating, insights, takeaways. Does anyone need to hop off in this moment? Jazz, you do.
Yeah, I've got a date waiting for me.
Do you have a quick soundbite
for us? I do. It's actually what you shared recently, or you like helped reiterate, is that like it's presence without a busy mind that allows to notice the creativity or feel the nudge. Because trust does sound effortful to me. And so I don't want to say trust it, because then I have to do something. And I really don't believe I have to do anything. I really believe it's on tap, flowing like 100% like a fire hose. So it's really the presence for me without the busy mind, because I do feel like I'm present to moments. But if I'm not feeling, if I'm not like sensing the creative nature that's flowing, it's probably because there's a conscious or unconscious busy mind going on. That is my takeaway, is just to check how present I really am.
Yeah.
And how quiet I really feel. That was beautiful. Thank you. Ooh. You are all so beautiful. I love you so much.
Love you too, Jazz.
Thanks, Jazz. Absolutely. Beautiful. Absolutely. You have a beautiful creative date.
He is and creative. I love you. I'm gonna check on him and see if I can stay on, but I'll listen in to see if I can.
That's so sweet.
I love you, Deborah.
I know. I'm just like, I feel like there's a water hose going on in my brain right now. But yeah, it's just so much. But I think I'm just going to keep it simple and share like in the way I began, which was with the insecurity, and say, just listening to you all tonight has really reminded me of the beauty that is inside of me. And sometimes we forget. Like, I know I've been on this journey and I feel like, oh, I've made so much progress. And then a moment like tonight happens, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that is okay, right? And so just listening to all the comments tonight has really brought me back to myself. And every time somebody was talking, like, I thought of another way that I've been creative, even back to like a project in elementary school on the prairies or something, right? I was just like, so it's just, I love being me.
Yes.
And so it was just like, you know, we talked about clothes, the way that I dress is like art, right? Not this, but when I'm out, you know, right? And just, yeah, it's just like, I see it in me, and I've seen it throughout my life, even though I feel like it wasn't a huge presence, but knowing, like we said, that it's always been there, it's in us. And now I just get to, just like those water hoses where you can twist it and stop it, I just get to unloosen it, right?
Yes. Oh, wow. Oh,
love that. So thank you all, right? And let it flow.
I love that.
So thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah. It's really fascinating because it's like, I can feel that it's not conceptual for you, Deborah, when you say that you've been like, oh, and this thing was creative and that thing was creative. And like my report on the prairies when I was, you know, like, that's not like everybody think of ways that you've been creative lately to disprove your thoughts that you're not creative. Like, yeah, I could fall under that umbrella, but there's a seeing happening, right? Like we've been like unclogging that hose even of creativity to be able to see the how much creativity there is that you are, right? And
in the way I interact with students, the way, you know what I mean? Like the way I operate, you know?
Right.
We got this, guys. We got this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the right hemisphere kicking in right there. That's the right hemisphere being like. Truly, truly. Awesome. Ashley's.
For me, I think I'm taking away what you just said at the end is like that living life as a work of art is living whole. But art is messy, and so it's like it's all of this, and I don't know, there's comfort, relief, something in there. And it's a cool, I don't know, it's a cool reminder that we are living life as a work of art, or we get to, right? And so it's all just art, it's all just creation, it's all just creative. Messy, not messy, whatever. So it's cool.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you guys.
Please.
There was like three post-it notes that I wrote down, which are like key things that I want to put on my wall and remember, but I'll just mention one of the things I wrote down, which is what Deborah said about creativity is healing. And I like when I resonated with you, Deborah, it was like on a really grand, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but like if like in a big way. And that there was no like definition or clear cut idea of what creativity is, to circle back to the beginning of the call, right? Sometimes it's in the form of like, for example, at the retreat, I was painting a lot and like, I didn't realize how healing it was. And I wasn't, you know, I didn't realize that I needed that, but I did. And then there's other times, right? Like, I would
like lay under the stars by the beach or wake up early in the morning and look at the sunrise and then like, you know, take some like deep breaths and like allow what thoughts come to my head when I'm like, especially when I'm like taking some breaths, like deep breathing or like specific breath work that I've learned from Malaya. Like sometimes I'll just do that on my own and see where my mind goes with that. And the imagination sometimes runs wild where I'm like thinking about certain people and how much I care about them and how I miss them a lot. Especially when I'm looking at the sky and the ocean, I think about a lot of people that have passed and I allow myself to feel their presence. And it's so healing where it's like, oh, like I should be it's not so much I should be thinking about you. It's like, and this is gonna make me emotional, but like, I want to feel you more, not I should be thinking about you more. It's like, oh, I feel you right now. And I want more of this. I want to access this more. And it's like journaling about what I want to do next. Or another thing is like, I notice with, I don't know if it's my ADHD or just sometimes like I'll have conversations with people and, or for example, like I have long conversations with Eddie, like on our balcony. And, I have this really need and desire to like move or touch things or speak quickly. Like it's almost like I don't even know if it's like an impulse or a burst of energy. And it, and I'm remembering to be present and listen to the other person that's speaking to me. So like instead what I'll do, which I've been doing, is like I'll draw, and you think I'm not listening because I'm drawing. I'm actually listening to you so much better. And then like I'm doing something with my hands and my brain, and like I'll just share this with you real quick. But like I made this the other day. I don't know if you can see it. Like I couldn't add any color because I didn't have any colored pens or pencils, but it's like, oh, that's the pirate ship, because I was looking at the pirate ship at the beach, you know, as we were talking. And he was like, sometimes he'll talk for like 45 minutes straight. I love him, but sometimes he'll talk for 45 minutes straight. I'm like that too, but he's like a little more technical with the way he speaks. So like, I gotta like move my hands and like move my body with my hands. And that's not only is it healing for me, but I'm connecting with like the love of my life, you know. Or it doesn't have to be particularly him, but this was one example. It's really interesting. Like, so these are a few examples about creativity is healing. I love that you said that because I so feel that right now, you know. And I'm also remembering like these other things that are bothering me, like, okay, I can, creativity is healing, you know. And I feel hopeful, you know, with some of that more challenging stuff. I have like 20 other examples, but I'll leave it at that. I like to talk a lot too. Thank you for listening. But it was so cool. I really enjoyed this call.
Thanks, Lace.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a practice. We did this in Perry. It's not a new practice, but it was cool to do it there. It's a walking dialogue where you're walking together and you're present with the dialogue that's happening, but the movement of the body, like it's not necessarily natural for us to be sitting still and having connection. So I just want to like acknowledge that's, you know, there are like cool ways to do that might, we can talk about that outside of this too, but, yeah, like I used to call it the walk and grok. When I'd hang out with Brian, the walk and grok, where we would just like walk around town, you know, and shoot the shit. But yeah, that like doing something, like a lot of, you know, I take notes in the sessions, like my hands are just doing what they do. I'm not like focused on that, but there is something about it that allows me to be completely fucking present with like what's going on, which sounds kind of counter what it would seem like, but anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll have, you know, client calls, and I, even though I record it, I'm scribbling away, and most of the time I'm not looking at those notes ever again. But like my hands are doing something and I'm more locked into you. Mm-hmm. It's really crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy.
It's not crazy, but it's like, I guess it's what's crazy is mm-hmm. that it's a realization that this works. And I'm like, oh, this is, I thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. This works. That the realization is crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so cool. Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. It's kind of the same mechanism in our brain. Why journaling is one of the reasons why journaling is so helpful. We're getting out, we're slowing down our thinking through writing because we can't write as fast as we think. Also the kinesthetic embodiment aspect of motion activates the parts of the brain, but yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right, ladies. Here's to an unfiltered creative life. This is super fun, as always.
Thank you all so much. This has been beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you all so great. Much.
Thank you, everyone.
Awesome. All right. Guys. Have a beautiful night. We're going to go jump in the pool and go to the gym.
Gym? I'm just kidding.
All right.
Good night.